Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right. How's everybody doing? Thanks so much. Again, thank you so much for being here. I know you've been welcomed a number of different times. Hey, but we are glad you're here. Thanks so much for being here. Of course, I'm not Pastor John Nuzzo. I am not the Italian stallion. He's out of town, all right? He's on the beach somewhere. So I know sooner or later he's going to send me text messages with a video of a part of it just to harass me about him walking on the beach. He does it every time he goes to the beach just to annoy me and stuff. He'll be back. In fact, at the end of the service, you'll see a video promotion about the next series that he's going to be beginning about hearing the voice of God. I tell you what, it's important that we're able to hear God's voice. Amen? And he's going to do a series about that when he gets back, about hearing the voice of God. So I encourage you to stay connected. I know it's the summer months. I know there's vacations, all that kind of stuff. I mean, we were gone for a couple of weeks. I know that happens. But I really encourage you, though, if you're here, to stay connected with what's taking place at church and stuff. Because how many of you know God's here all the time? Not just here, but I mean, he's everywhere, of course. And God doesn't want much. He just wants everything. Right? Because he expects us to yield our lives to him. Now, that's not a bad thing. If actually me saying that sets off bad things, if that sets off that tells me, that would tell you that you actually have an unbiblical perspective about God. Because how many of you know giving God your everything is actually freeing, joyful, exciting, peaceful, all kinds of stuff. There's nothing bad attached to it. You know what? But our unbiblical perspective, and believe it or not, sometimes even religion or church actually helps create that. Because how many of you know sometimes, man, going to church can just be painful. It can, if you are not even just going to church, just thinking about serving God can just create all kinds of painful feelings in it. Oh, because we know if it's spiritual, it has to be painful, right? If it has to do with God, it has to hurt. It has got to be at 4:30 in the morning or some ungodly hour or whatever. It's got to be bad. None of that's true, all right? None of it's true. Following God and giving God everything is actually the opposite. So I encourage you, again, Pastor John will be back and he'll be going along those lines. And if you missed maybe the last few weeks as he was talking about the faith of Abraham, we're going to continue a little bit along those lines, slightly different, but along those lines a little bit today. And because I knew Pastor John was going to be gone and stuff. And as he was ministering along these lines, just rolling around in my heart, started talking about different things about just the perspective that it's easy to have. Sometimes as believers, we'll hear things that like the Old Testament saints or other people in the Bible, and we'll elevate them to a point where they're superior human beings than us, that they had some type of special whatever. But actually, they're just people just like us. And I know, again, if you were here, Pastor John talked about some of that, even from Abraham's life, some of the mistakes he made. And he made some big ones, okay? Some of the different things that he did. Yet he still followed God and followed him every step of the way. But we will also, when it comes to talking about, because it was about the faith of Abraham and following in the faith of Abraham, if we're not careful, we'll think that faith and our perception about what faith is will almost be like it's like blind faith, which is what I entitled this because I got tired of trying to think of some creative title. So there you go. But we'll think it's blind, like it's like just like a blind step into the dark. You know, and you'll hear people use phrases. Well, I'm just going to step out. You know, I don't really know what's going on, but I'm just going to step out in faith or whatever. How many of you know a lot of times when people are saying that, they're not really stepping out in faith. They're just stepping out and hoping everything turns out okay. But Abraham wasn't like that. When it talks about him walking in faith, in fact, the first scripture we'll read, let's read this. You'll see it on the screen there, Hebrews 11. Let me get to the right place. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10, it says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going." And you can read the rest of the verse there. You know, he left and went and lived in the land there that was the promised land, what we would call the promised land. But it says he left not knowing where he was going. And what we will do sometimes is incorrectly, we will actually project into that verse as though Abraham's just wandering around and has no clue. Poor Abraham, he just had no idea what he was doing or where he was going. And God, almost as though God left him in the dark or something like that. No, he didn't know where he was going physically. He didn't know physically where he was going to stop. He didn't know that, but he knew God. And his faith was founded in a God that kept his promises. So as far as Abraham's concerned, he's stepping out. No, I don't know where I'm physically going, but how many of you know I'm stepping on something? Right? Now, if I go this way, it's not going to be good, right? But that's how some people actually see faith. They just see it this way. You're going off and, woo, that's pretty far. That's further than it looks when you're down there. All right, Palmer, here we go. Ready? Yeah. He would not catch me either. I can tell you that right now. But faith rests in God. And Abraham, no, he didn't know where he was going physically, but he knew that he was following God. And so faith took him somewhere. I want to show you a couple other scriptures here. Hebrews 11:13, it says, now this is referring to Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob. It's referring to, we're kind of coming in at the end of a few verses here. It says, these all died in faith, not having received things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. And they died in faith, not receiving all the promises. Now, I don't want you to think that verse is not telling you that God didn't keep a promise. It's telling you they died before the promise came to fruition completely. In other words, God promised Abraham that his descendants would be as many as what? The sand on the seashore, stars in the sky. Abraham died before that happened. Do you understand? That's what that verse is telling you. My father's in heaven today. He died a number of years ago. All right, he died not having received all the promises that God has for us in his word. Jesus tarries his coming. About 100 years from now, everyone in this room will die having not received all that's promised. Do you understand? Because all that's promised is all kinds of stuff, a glorified body, all kinds of stuff. How many of you know that hasn't happened? True? Okay, so that's what that verse is telling you. Don't read into that verse that it's that, and don't project into there that it's telling you God didn't keep a promise. That's not what it's saying. They just simply died. Okay, they died. But look what it tells you in the other part. It says that they saw something. They saw the fruition of those promises. They saw them as though they were looking in the distance. They saw it. And it says that they greeted them from afar. The words there literally talks about you greet somebody and you're embracing them. So they actually saw they saw all these things coming to pass. Abraham saw these things and they embraced them. So they knew what they were doing. So faith is seeing things that we may not necessarily be seeing physically on this earth, but I see them. It's that real to them. It was that real to them. I'll show it to you in another scripture. This is Jesus. This is John chapter 8. Jesus is talking. I'd encourage you to read John chapter 8 sometime. It's a cool chapter because Jesus ticks off a lot of people in this chapter. And they basically try to stone him here at the end. Because Jesus uses a phrase, or he calls himself basically, I am that I am, at the end of this. In fact, just a few verses after this one. But anyway, he's talking about Abraham. And again, we're kind of jumping into the middle of a discussion here. And he's talking to the Jewish leaders of the day, the Pharisees, scribes, etc. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. Now they react to that and they said, wait a minute, you're not even 50 years old. And you're telling me that Abraham saw your day. You're nuts. You know, you must have a devil or something. You're crazy. And Jesus goes on to say, I tell you this, buddy, before Abraham was, I am. And he used the same phraseology that God used to Moses in the burning bush. Moses asked God, he says, who do I tell people that sent me? Moses is told by God, you tell them, I am that I am sent you. I am that I am sent you. Jesus used half of that phrase, just simply said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. Boy, it kind of fired them up, because they knew exactly what he did. They knew the phrase that he used, and it ticked them off. They wanted to stone him, all right? They wanted to stone him, but the phrase there, Jesus says, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So Jesus himself told us Abraham actually saw Jesus's day. He actually saw it, embraced it, rejoiced over it. So when you think about walking in faith, and you're talking about seeing things, and then again, we'll look at a definition of faith from the Word of God here, but you're talking about it's though I am firmly convinced that these things exist, even though I don't see them in this natural world. Abraham did not see Jesus on the planet. Abraham died. Do you understand? Abraham and Jesus were not on the planet at the same time. Yet Jesus himself said, Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced about it. He was excited about it. The other verse in Hebrews said the same thing. All these people, they saw it from afar and they embraced it. They embraced what they saw. So when you're talking about faith, it's not blind faith. You're not stepping onto something you just simply can't see. It is being so assured of the things you can't see that it's that real to you. Sorry, I just spit. Did I spit on you, Rachel? It's my daughter anyway. It won't matter. All right, with these lights, I can really see it. You may not have seen it, but I saw that thing go out there. All right. Sorry about that. Anyway, sorry, Rach. Okay. But he saw it. He saw those things. And it was so real to them. This is what I really want you to see. It was so real to them. They couldn't see it with their physical eyes, but it was so real to them that he moved. When God said, leave the land, he left. When God said, do this, he did it. When God said, do this, they did it. When God said, Sarah's going to have a child, even though she laughed at first, it became so real to her that she saw it so real, they had a child. Do you understand? Romans tells us that he was fully persuaded. In other words, he was so persuaded that it was true. He was utterly convinced, even though I can't see this, even though it may not even make sense to me naturally, I don't see it in this physical world. It is that real to me. It's that real to me. I don't know about you, but I want to have that type of faith to where the things I don't see are that real to me. So that it allows you to take that step that you need to step. That it allows you to believe God and to hold fast to God's promises. Even though I may not see it in this present world right now, how many of you know faith can bring those things to pass? That's what the Bible tells us. Let's keep reading here. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I put it up there in a couple of different translations for you. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. It gives us assurance about things that we cannot see. See, faith, Bible faith, is I am so convinced that the promises of God, I am so convinced about the character and the nature of God. Now that's a big one. Because if you really think about it, more than just simply a Bible verse, it's actually the root of it goes back to how do I really perceive God? How do I really perceive him as a person, so to speak? How do I really perceive him? Because, you know, we interact with people. You interact with people every day. And we all know as you interact with people, especially people that are close to you, you get to know them. You get to know their character. How many of you know there's people that it doesn't matter what time of day, what time of night, you can pick up the phone and you call them and you know they'll be there. How do you know that? Well, not many of you. You ain't got much friends, do you? This is a lonely bunch. Not really. I know in church, you never know when the preacher's setting you up, right? So everybody's always hesitant to raise their hand. I don't know if I should raise my hand or not because he's going to make a fool of me. I'm not doing that, all right? But there's those people, if you'd say, yeah, I know I could call so-and-so and I know they'd come. Wouldn't matter what time of day, wouldn't matter. Why would you be able to say that about them? Because you know them and you know their character and you know their makeup and you know that if you pick up the phone and call, they're coming. True? The problem is we sometimes have more faith in that person we're going to call at 3 o'clock in the morning than we do in God. And it goes back to our perception of him, how we perceive him, and how we perceive his nature and his character. And what I want to really encourage you this morning is that you get to know God in such a real way that just like Abraham, just like the other Old Testament saints that it talks about, whether it's in Hebrews and other places, in fact, there's 16 people that are talked about in Hebrews chapter 11. And it talks about they all died without receiving the promises. They all died without it. They all did. They're in heaven today. All right? They all died without it. Yet it was so real to them, it allowed them to do the things that they did. They had such a real perception. And again, Jesus saying, Abraham saw my day. He embraced it. He rejoiced about my day. He knew exactly what was coming. And it enabled them and enabled him to do the things that he did. I really encourage you, you can have that kind of faith. Just like you would have the faith in so-and-so that you're going to call in the middle of the night if something comes up. You can have that same type of faith when it comes to God, that I know he shows up. I know his character. I know his makeup. Look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Now, if you're not careful, the word there exists. Some translations will use the word is. Must believe that he is, believe that God is. And the reason it'll do that is because the word exists. What that word is telling you, it's not telling you that God exists in general terms, okay? Because lots of people believe that God exists or a God exists, right? It's telling you, you must believe that he exists in the present right now. In other words, you must believe that he's actually alive and present right now. At what time is it? 11:25 or somewhere in there, depending upon what, 11:25. You must believe that he exists right now. And this is where a lot of people start jumping ship. Because you know what? Most people don't really have that big of a deal when it comes to believing God of the past. You know, you read the Bible. Oh, man, yeah, we can embrace those Bible stories and we can embrace all this stuff. And we can think about the future. And especially when it comes about the future, about heaven, man, we can really try to hold on to those because, you know, dying, that doesn't really go to the top of our list. Nobody's really looking forward to that one, right? So we'll put God out there because we want God there. True? You're lying on your deathbed. You want God there, right? And we're okay with the God in the Bible and all the stuff that's there, but it changes things, and people sometimes can get downright mad at you when you start talking about the God right now, that he exists right now. And though the words that are used there, it literally is telling you, you must believe that he exists right now and that he rewards you right now. He is a rewarder of his people. Man, those are two big ones that people really kind of react to. Where I'd encourage you today is, let's react in a good way to the Word of God, not in the other way where I don't know about that. Because we need to respond to God's Word just like Abraham, just like the Old Testament saints did, and understand God is the God of right now. He exists right now. He's the same God that delivered the children of Israel. He's the same God, hey, we've all seen the Ten Commandments movie, Moses, Charlton Heston, The Rod. He's the same God. He hasn't changed. The Bible says he changes not. And he exists right now, right today, at this moment. And you know what? God knew you'd be sitting here today. He knows everything about you. He knows what's going on in your life. He wants to be intimately involved in your life. But I must believe that he's the God of now. And that'll change your perspective if you will live like he actually exists. And that's the thing, the trouble with a lot of us is we don't really live like he exists today, right? But he exists today. God is the God of now. He exists right now. And it talks about those that we went through there in Hebrews. I know we read just a couple of scriptures that says they saw this in the future. They saw those things. But because of the foundation of faith they had in their lives, it allowed them to take steps because they knew God's alive. Even though these things are in the future, he's alive today. He's moving in my life today. It enables me to take these steps today. Let me read you a couple other scriptures here. And we're going to kind of have to jump over a couple things. But if you go to Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. At the end of chapter 11, it runs through a number of different people. And basically the gist of it is, you know what? These people recognize, even said the same thing when it was talking about Abraham and the others. It says, you know, they recognized that they were foreigners, strangers in this land. In other words, they recognize this is not our home. You know the problem with some of us? We think this is our home. This is not your home. You are just passing through. The older you get, you know how quick that interstate's moving. Right? You are just passing through. This is not your home. It tells you here, and again, you may not remember, but it was in the scripture about Abraham, but if you read chapter 11, it wraps up at the end of chapter 11, Hebrews 11, and tells you the same thing about all the people that are listed there. They recognize they were strangers in exile. They were foreigners in a strange land. All the phrases that are used there are telling you they knew this is not my home. They were looking forward to a city whose foundation is God, whose builder is God. They saw it. They saw it. It was that real to them. They saw it. And they recognized this is not my home. I'm on a journey here. Okay, that can be that real to you. Just like them, it can be that real to you. And your relationship with God can be that real to you. But I must believe that he exists in the here and now. And if I'll change that perspective that he exists today, and this is not my home, I am on a journey. You know, my grandmother, we call her Mamaw. If she makes it to October, she'll be 106. All right? Seriously, she'll be 106. Now, Mamaw is a feisty thing. Now, she's loved God all her life. She served God all her life. Her and her husband, we called him Papaw, so Papaw and Mamaw, all right? But he died when he was about 94. They said when he was dying, he was on the bed there dying and stuff. Every now and then, he would be, you know, his eyes were closed and stuff, but he was in the process of dying. Every now and then, hand would go up, he'd go, amen. Time would go by, and he'd amen. And eventually, he amened himself to heaven, all right? My grandmother, again, Mamaw, she'll be 106 if she makes it to October and stuff. She had, again, she's feisty. Now, years ago, and now she's over 100. It's wild when you can say years ago and you're still over 100, okay? You know, she has had a walker. She's got a walker and stuff, you know, and she's walking through the home that she's living in, man, and she's checking old women into the sides of the walls because they wouldn't get out of her way. She's knocking people out of the way. They had to put a bicycle bell on her walker. That's true. They put a bicycle bell on her walker so she could get them old women out of the way. She's checking them into the hallway, into the sides of the walls over there. She complained to my mother a couple years ago. She complained to my mother because every now and then they'll shuffle the tables where they eat at, where they're eating their meals at. Complained to my mother that they sat some old woman at her table. You're like 103. They sat some old woman. You know how old the lady was? She was 89. They set her at my table. They set this old woman at my table. All right? But Mamaw had a dream not that long ago, and I can't tell you the whole thing. It takes too long, and I'll mess up some of the details because my sister told it to me, so I'm going to have to get my sister to retell it to me because I'm going to mess up some of it. But the gist of it is she had this dream, and in this dream, a limousine pulled up, and this tall, big, she said strong, tall, strong, good-looking man got out and walked over to her, and she's sitting in a chair, walked over to her and patted on her on the shoulder and said, Grace, we're here to pick you up. And Grace is her first name. So Grace, we're here to pick you up. And he's patting her on her shoulder, and she's like, "Who? I don't know you. Who are you?" And then he opens the door to this limousine, or what she pictured, a large car, or whatever. I don't think she necessarily said limousine, but they opened the door, and in the back of the car were her sisters, who were in heaven. Okay, and so she's got her sisters. Sisters are in the car, and the one who died this past year just passed away. In 2013, early fall 2013, was in the car. I believe her name was Lois. I think that's right. I think we called her Aunt Minnie Lois or something like that. Don't know why. But anyway, Lois is in the car. And the sisters talk to her in this dream and say, Grace, we're here to pick you up. Come on and go with us. We're here to pick you up. And she's like, well, I don't want to go. Where are we going? And she said she would keep looking at the guy, and she'd always say, this big, strong, good-looking guy, you know, that kept patting her on the shoulder saying, it's okay, Grace, you can come with us. You can go with us if you want to. You can go if you want to. And the sisters are saying, come on, Grace, we're here to pick you up. Lois, again, the one who died most recently, the other sisters are saying, look, Lois took this trip by herself. We didn't want you to be by yourself, so we came too. So we want you to go with us. Isn't that wild? Now, Mamaw turned them down because she said she kept looking at. I don't know who's this. I don't know this. I don't know who this big, strong, good-looking guy is. I don't know him, or whatever. And she said, basically, the gist of it is, no, I'm not. I don't want to go now. I'm not ready to go now because I'll miss this and I'll miss that. I'm not ready to go now. How many of you know one day Mamaw's going to get in the car? There's something on the other side of this. This is not your home. You are just passing through. And you're going to somewhere that's totally different than here, in a sense that, and it exists so much so, it was so real to Abraham, so real to them, that they embraced it. And they knew God not only exists in general terms, God exists in the right now. And I tell you what, God exists in the right now for you today. You can know God and have a foundation of faith in your life so real that becomes so real to you that the earth actually, in fact, the Bible uses terminology like this, that the earth actually begins to grow dim to you. Why? Because eternity looks so real to you. Paul said, I've decided to stay, but I really want to go. You know why? Because he had a picture. He knew exactly what was on the other side. He knew exactly what was taking place there. And he said, you know what? It's more profitable for me right now to stay here with you. Mamaw decided to stay because she's thinking, I'm going to miss this and this, and I don't know who this guy is. I ain't getting in the car with him. But someday, I promise you, someday, and I'll try to remember to do it, someday in church here, I'll get up and I'll say, hey, Mamaw got in the car. Right? Now, she may be 115 at the time. I don't know. But I encourage you today. We never read. Let's read this real quick, and we're going to wrap this up today, all right? Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, all the things that are talked about in Hebrews chapter 11, remember, the Bible wasn't written in verses and in chapters. Okay, so chapters are put in there and verses are put in there so you and I can find stuff, okay? So we can say, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Nobody sits down to write a letter in chapters, chapter 1. Man, if you get a letter and it starts off chapter 1, how many of you know I ain't reading that thing, okay? So it didn't have chapters, okay? There's no chapters in there. So it keeps going. So it wraps up the end of Hebrews chapter 11 saying these died, they didn't receive the promises, et cetera, et cetera. But they recognize we're foreigners here. We're strangers here. We're exiles here. This is not my home. And I'm telling you, some of us, our lives would be different on this earth if we would recognize this isn't your home. This isn't your home. They knew this isn't my home. It allowed them to walk in faith. It was so real to them that it allowed them to do the things here on this earth as they are passing through. It allowed them to do all the things that they do. And you can read how it wraps up there at the end of chapter 11. It talks about how that they conquered kingdoms, shut the mouths of lions, did all kinds of stuff. Also talks about other things that they went through persecution-wise and stuff like this. Why? Because they recognize this is not my house. And I don't just believe that God exists in general terms. He exists right now, in the here and now, in my life. And he wants to show up in my life every single day. It was so real to them that they were able to do all the things that they did. Here in chapter 12, it goes on, therefore, and again, in the Bible, you see a therefore, you find out what it's there for. That's the truth. Therefore, it always refers to something that you just got through reading. And sometimes what you just got through reading, again, that thought could go on for verses and verses above it. In this particular case, it does. So therefore, since all these people, 16 of them that are talked about, since all this stuff about their lives, therefore, since all these things, it tells you here, since we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, it's referring to all those people in chapter 11. We're surrounded by all these cloud of witnesses. Now, theologians debate as to whether all those cloud of witnesses can actually see things. Some people think that you can see stuff, that they can see things, especially as it relates to our life of faith, how we're on this earth, because it does use the terminology as though they're looking over a banister, so to speak, looking. They're looking. Since we are surrounded by these great cloud of witnesses, what does it tell us to do? It says, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so easily and run this race, run with endurance this race that we're in. Now, a couple things here. First of all, weight, lay aside weight and sin. Those are two separate words. It's not connected. They're two separate words, weight and sin. Some things are weights. Other things are sins. How many of you know a weight? The word, it literally is talking about you holding a bag or something, and it bulges. So it's like you're trying to run a race with weights attached to you. How many of you know that would not be any fun? Okay? So the next one is sin. Don't need a whole lot of explanation about that one. We all know when we miss the mark. The word literally means missing the mark. I'm shooting at something, but I miss it. I miss the mark. If you're a born-again child of God sitting in this room this morning, how many of you know it when you miss the mark? Internally, you know it. You know it. All right? There's some things that are weights. There's some things that are sins. It tells us here, we're exhorted here, to lay aside those things that cling so closely. Gives a connotation of you being in a race, but you've got people that are hindering your progress in the race. They're blocking you. They're stopping you. I don't know if you've watched any of the Tour de France that's going on right now and stuff. I've watched quite a good bit of it and stuff. It's just interesting to me, especially when they're wiping out like crazy. I cannot imagine being on a bicycle going that fast and skinning up your whole backside and stuff. And these guys are flying on these. But there's all kinds of strategy attached to this. I don't understand it all. It's just fun to watch different times. But they do things to hinder other teams and other riders' progress. They do things to keep them. That's the connotation of what this is talking about. Let's run this race. It says, but you need to lay aside the things that are keeping you from running this race. What are the things that are keeping you from having that eternal perspective? What are the things that are keeping you from really being firmly persuaded God exists right now, in the here and now, and I'm going to live my life every day like He exists? What's hindering you? You need to lay that aside. Some of them are weights. Weights are not necessarily sin. Paul said, everything is lawful for me, but everything is not profitable for me. There's some things that are not sin that we do, whatever it may be, and I'm not going to name a single thing, but there's some things that we do that are weights to us. They are hindering us that we need to choose to lay aside. God won't lay it aside for you. Nobody can lay it aside for you, only you. So what's weighing you down that's keeping you from having that eternal perspective? What's weighing you down that's keeping you from really living like God exists right now, in the here and now? Or sometimes we're missing the mark. Sometimes we're willingly, in fact, it's always willingly, but sometimes we're doing it habitually, maybe be a better phrase. We're missing that mark over and over again, and we're doing it on purpose. We know we're doing it, and we need to lay those things aside so we can run this race. It uses the word endurance there. Bible tells us that it's through faith and patience, or faith and endurance, that we do what? Inherit the promises of God. So it's an endurance race that you're going to run. Then it goes on to say here about looking to Jesus. The phrase that it talks about, looking to Jesus, it means I have literally taken my eyes off of one thing to fix them onto something else. So he just got through telling you, the Word of God just got through telling you, lay aside things, lay aside weights, lay aside sin, and you need to look to Jesus. Take your eye, turn, and look to Jesus and fix your eyes on Jesus. Why does it tell you to do that? Because it tells you He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And it's not talking about in the context of Him just being the finisher per se, as He's the one that's doing it. It's literally telling you that He is the captain of our faith. He's the captain, the prince of our faith. He is the perfect example of someone who ran their race free from encumbrance and finished that race. And it tells you that at the end of that verse, He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Lay aside these things that are hindering you. Take your eyes, turn, and you fix them on Jesus. Why is Jesus? Because He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the one that will help you run this. He's a perfect example for you to follow. How many of you know if you're going to follow somebody, it ought to be Jesus? He's a perfect example. But did you know He actually walked this earth as a man, as a human being? He walked this way as a person, all right? And it's important that you understand He's a perfect illustration of how we can walk this life with an eternal perspective that God exists right now. And I want to encourage you this morning, when you're talking about faith, and again, Pastor John just got through talking all the things about faith with us and from the life of Abraham. I promise you, it'll help you if you'll recognize, man, you know what? This is not my home. I am just passing through. And I must believe that God exists in the here and the now, and He wants to reward me today. He wants to reward me today. Today, He wants to be involved in my life because God exists today. He exists. And He wants to move on my behalf today. And I'm going to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. How many of you know you can live this life? Pastor John used the scripture from Isaiah about us being cleft or hewn or cleft from the same rock, the same granite, the same piece of stone that Abraham was. Why is that? Because it's the same race. When it talks about the race there in Hebrews chapter 12, it literally is telling you that you're running the same race they ran. So just picture Abraham and all those guys, they're running. They got done. If you ever run in a race before and you get finished, finally get finished, then you get to watch everybody else suffer as they finish, right? That's the connotation here. These guys, they ran. You're in the same race. It is not a different race. It's the same race. That's why it tells you that they died having not received the promises. Why? Because God wasn't going to let them get perfection before us. Because we're all wrapped up in it together. One day, how many of you know it's all going to be wrapped up and perfection comes about? So the purpose is that we're all in the same race, all running the same race. They got done. They're finished. They're those cloud of witnesses that are watching, and now they're watching you run the exact same race. Well, if they ran it, you can run it. If they finished it, you can finish it. If they were successful in it, you can be successful in it. If they look to a home that's not, they knew, man, this is not my house, this is not my home, I'm going there, that's where I'm going. And they believed that God existed. They believed that he existed in the here and in the now, which allowed them to take those steps. It allowed them to do the things that they did. And I encourage you, you can live the exact same way. Why? Because you're cleft from the same rock. You're running the same race. It's the exact same race that they run, that they ran. And I want to encourage you this morning, you can live that life. You can have it. If you'll draw near to God, the Bible tells us that he'll now draw near to you. Fellowship with the Word of God. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. If you weren't here when John Bevere ministered a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning, I encourage you to watch that. It's online. It's completely free. Watch that. Even if you were here, rewatch. You can watch or listen to it online. It's totally free. LifeofVictory.com. And where he talked about the Holy Spirit wants to fellowship with you. In fact, there's a scripture in Corinthians that talks about that. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with the Word of God. And as you do that, and again, don't make it painful. It's easy. Please don't make it painful. Because sometimes you'll hear things like that, and what we'll do is we always tend to overreact. It's like exercising. You know, we've all done it, you know, where we'll think, we make especially like New Year's resolutions or resolutions to exercise, or just, bless God, I am going to exercise consistently. But then we make it so painful we won't do it. We do the same thing spiritually. Oh, I'm gonna. I know I need to pray. I know I need to pray. I know I need to spend time in the Word. And then we make it painful. That means I got to get up at like 5 in the morning. Oh, God, I'm going to get up at 5 in the morning and seek your face. But how do you know old St. Mattress will talk to you? Right? And I tell you what, man, unless you're a morning person, that will not be successful. But we've all done it. I'm going to pray an hour a day. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And we make these things because we think, naturally speaking, we think if it's spiritual, it has to hurt. It has to be painful. It has to cost me something so much that it's just like, no, only dedicated people get this. That's not true. Normal human beings get that. Make it simple. Take a simple step. If you're not praying 2 minutes today, start praying 2 minutes. I guarantee everybody in the room can pray 2 minutes. Okay? Time yourself. Bible says watch and pray, get your watch out, pray. Here we go, go. 2 minutes ago, number one, you'll be surprised how long, if you're not praying 2 minutes, how long 2 minutes will feel to you, but you'll also be surprised if you'll do it consistently, not perfectly, because nobody does it perfectly. But if you'll do it consistently, you'll be surprised how quick 2 minutes will go by after just a short period of time. Because you'll begin to actually, it'll become a part of your life. And all of a sudden that 2 minutes turns into 5 minutes, turns into 10 minutes, and whatever. And I'll stop there. Because again, if you're not careful, you'll project into it. Oh, it's got to be this. It doesn't count unless it's this. It doesn't count unless it's 75 chapters. It doesn't count unless it's I memorize this. It doesn't count unless I do this. God exists in the here and now, wants to be involved in your life here and now. You fellowship with him, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Again, re-listen to that message from John Bevere because I don't have time to go on that. And you develop a relationship with God. And you know what will happen? Your perspective will change. You'll be just like those people that are talked about in Hebrews chapter 11, where you'll recognize, this is not my home. God exists in the here and now. And I'm going somewhere. And he exists right now, wants to reward me right now in the here and now. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Father, I thank you for every person in this room today. And I thank you that you reveal yourself to us very plainly, very clearly by your Spirit today. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for blessing, prospering your people. That Father, I thank you that you bless them with insight. You prosper them with wisdom. You give them direction where they need it. And Father, it is my prayer that we will gain an eternal perspective, that we'll recognize this is not our home. And we'll also recognize that you exist in the here and now to move on our behalf right now, present day, while we're in this room, when we get in our cars, when we get home, tomorrow when we get up, every moment of every day, you are ever present. Father, we thank you, and I thank you for making yourself very real, very plain to every person in this room today in Jesus' name. Just keep your head bowed, your eyes closed just for a moment. If you're here and you say, Pastor Steve, I hear you talking about an eternal perspective. I hear you talking about these things going somewhere. This is not my home. Man, I'm not real sure where I am in there. I'm not real sure where I'm at in that category. I encourage you, please don't leave today. If you are unsure about your relationship with God, maybe you know without any doubt. I know, man, I have never asked Jesus to be my Savior and to be my Lord. I've never opened up my heart and done that. Or you say, I'm unsure. I encourage you. It is very easy. Please don't leave without knowing. Very easy. You're going to do it right there at your chair. Everybody in this room is going to pray out loud together with you. We're not going to single you out. We're not going to embarrass you in any way. And you know what? God will show up right there at your chair. And your sins will be forgiven. You'll be redeemed. And you'll be on your way. You'll be in that race. You'll be headed in the right direction. I encourage you, please don't leave. If you are unsure about where you stand in your relationship with God, you'd say, Pastor Steve, please include me in that prayer. Again, we're going to pray right there where you're seated. Just simply raise your hand, and again, we're going to pray right there. All right, anybody? Say, Pastor Steve, please include me. Thank you so much. You can put your hand back down. Thank you so much. You can put your hand back down. Who would like to join these that raised their hand? Anybody else? Thank you so much. You can put your hand back down. I see you. Thank you. Anybody else? Say, Pastor Steve, please include me. I am unsure. Please don't leave. Again, it's not painful. It's going to take just a moment. Thank you. I see you. Anybody else? Thank you so much. I see you up there in the risers. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Real quick. Not going to string this out, all right? Last time. I'm going to look last time. Say, Pastor Steve, please include me in that prayer. I want to be included. All right, let's pray together out loud with these that raised their hand. You repeat this prayer so you hear it out loud with your own ears. Say, Father our God, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that you sent him to this earth, that he lived and he died, was raised from the dead for me and for my salvation. Lord Jesus, I open up my heart. I ask you to be my Savior, to be my Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me by your blood. I receive you now as my Savior and as my Lord, and I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you so much for praying with us.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.